CBS is unseated by allegations of sexual harassment.
China's richest man steps down from the helm of the world's largest retailer.
Trade concerns show no sign of waning as President Trump ramps up the rhetoric.
And an inconclusive election in Sweden has the government headed for gridlock.
People from the Carolinas to the Mid-Atlantic are preparing for Hurricane Florence. Plus, journalist Bob Woodward is standing by his new book on President Trump. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Coming up in sports, impressive openers for OBJ and Saquon Barkley. But what did it all mean? The Yankees come up short in Seattle.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by USCF. Invest in what's real. Visit USCFinvestments.com. That's USCFinvestments.com.
It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we have a mixed picture for global stocks this morning. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 10 points, Dow futures up 88, NASDAQ futures up about 39. The DAX in Germany, little change, CAC in Paris up 0.2%, so is the FTSE 100. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.3%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong fell 1.3%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 2.94%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.70%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.1% or 72 cents to $68.47 a barrel. COMEX gold little change down 40 cents to $1,200 an ounce. The euro, $1.1570. The yen, 111.06. Bob.
It's the end of an era for CBS, with the head of the media giant ending his 20-year reign at the helm. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the story. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Bob. The 68-year-old Les Moonves was regarded as one of the most capable programming executives in television and one of the highest paid. The New Yorker reported he sexually harassed a dozen women and tried to harm their careers. Yesterday, six additional women came forward. His exit package is as much as $180 million, but that depends on the outcome of an investigation. The board also ended a separate legal fight with majority shareholder National Amusements. National, controlled by Sherry Redstone and her ailing father Sumner, had proposed that CBS combine with Viacom. The CBS shakeup could now catch the attention of potential suitors. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. It's also the end of an era for Chinese e-commerce giant Alibaba. Founder and chairman Jack Ma has announced plans to step down in September of next year and hand over the executive chairman role to CEO Daniel Zhang. Ma spoke exclusively to Bloomberg ahead of the announcement.
I don't think any problem with Alibaba will happen. I have fully confidence in my team and fully confidence in our structure, like the partner structure.
Jack Ma will remain on Alibaba's board until 2020 and will focus on philanthropy and education following his departure.
Turning to global politics now, an inconclusive election in Sweden has the government there headed for political gridlock. Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Marcus Carlson joins us live from Stockholm with details. Good morning, Marcus.
Good morning, Bob. Yes, I'm sitting just near the Swedish parliament, where a political thriller is likely to play out in the coming days, weeks, perhaps even months, because none of the traditional political blocs, the left led by the Social Democrats, nor the centre-right, won a majority in parliament in yesterday's election. This, as a nationalist group that's talked about dragging Sweden out of the European Union, won the backing of nearly a fifth of the electorate. It makes the Sweden Democrats, as the party is known, look like the kingmakers of Swedish politics. Whoever they choose to back, or at least not block, would be in pole position to form the next government. But you can expect these talks to be very, very tense.
Now, Marcus, are these results out of Sweden in line with the rise of populism that we've seen in other parts of Europe?
Well, I think you have to see it through that prism, right? Per capita, this country has received more migrants than any other European nation during the refugee crisis. And the Sweden Democrats, they surfed accusations that the political elite is out of touch, arguing for a radical tightening of migration policies. What kind of influence they'll have, though, going forward is still unclear. Live in Stockholm, I'm Marcus Carlson, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Marcus, thank you. When it comes to financial markets, the prospect of further escalation of the U.S.-China trade war is weighing on sentiment. We get the latest from Bloomberg senior editor Jody Schneider.
President Trump is doubling down on his threats to impose higher tariffs on Chinese goods, saying he's ready to tax all imports from China at, quote, short notice. This is his latest threat, and it certainly escalates the war on words. It doesn't escalate too much the actual tariffs at this point because he didn't announce anything specific. We had been thinking that maybe we were going to see as much as $200 billion more in tariffs announced, maybe in phases, but that didn't come out. So now there's uncertainty.
And there are currently no new trade talks scheduled between U.S. and Chinese officials.
Trade war concerns saw stocks in Asia fall today for the eighth straight session. Bloomberg's Juliet Saleh reports from Singapore.
Bob and Karen, stocks in Hong Kong and China led the losses, the Hang Seng Index flirting with bear market territory. The CSI 300 fell to September 2016 lows. Separately, data released Monday showed China's consumer inflation rose for a third month in August, while business inflation eased. Apple suppliers were among some of the worst stock performers in the region after the tech giant warned that more tariffs would increase the cost of some of its products. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Saleh, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Julia, thank you. Digital assets are also lower this morning with the cryptocurrency bear market hitting a fresh 10-month low. Ether, the second largest virtual currency, slumped as much as 9% from its Friday close. Bitcoin is currently trading at $6,268. Cryptocurrencies have declined for five of the past 6 weeks amid concern that broad adoption of digital assets is taking longer than anticipated.
Elon Musk scored a much-needed victory overnight with the 16th successful mission this year for SpaceX.
3, 2, 1, 0. Ignition. Liftoff.
The launch of a Telesat commercial satellite gives SpaceX 2 years of uninterrupted achievements and is a bright spot in an otherwise tumultuous few weeks for CEO Elon Musk.
And Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing. Learn why the world's most sophisticated advisory firms and broker-dealers rely on Pershing to help them improve profitability, create efficiency, attract talent, and manage risk at Pershing.com. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It's now 5:07 on Wall Street. Bracing for the hurricane. The latest now from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Rapidly intensifying Hurricane Florence could strike a direct and dangerous blow anywhere from the Carolinas to the Mid-Atlantic region later this week. The National Hurricane Center says Florence's winds are at 85 miles per hour for now. South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster is urging residents to be prepared for Florence.
When it gets here, it's estimated, it may be, this is an estimate, a Category 4 hurricane, which is between 130 and 156 miles an hour.
McMaster also told residents to plan for the worst and pray for the best. A white Dallas police officer who says she mistook her black neighbor's apartment for her own when she fatally shot him has been arrested on a manslaughter charge. Officer Amber Geiger has been charged with manslaughter in the shooting death of 26-year-old Botham Jean. Ben Crump is the attorney for the Jean family.
As it relates to the charge of manslaughter, the family is relieved that she was charged, even though, like many, they thought murder was appropriate.
Geiger was freed on $300,000 bail last night. Veteran journalist Bob Woodward is defending his new book coming out tomorrow that President Trump says that the quotes about him are fabricated. Woodward spoke to CBS's Sunday Morning.
He's wrong, and my reporting is meticulous and careful.
Meanwhile, Vice President Mike Pence is defending his boss from a 1-2 punch about turmoil inside the White House. More from Bloomberg's Nathan Ager in Washington.
The first punch, Bob Woodward's new book about President Trump's leadership called Fear, Pence tells CBS Face the Nation.
It shows a complete misunderstanding of how this White House works.
And Pence says he's confident no one on his staff wrote that unsigned New York Times op-ed about resistance within the administration. He was asked on Fox News Sunday if he'd take a lie detector test to prove he didn't write it.
I would agree to take it in a heartbeat.
In Washington, I'm Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Daybreak.
CBS's Sunday Morning and Face the Nation are both heard right here on Bloomberg Radio. The chairwoman of the Republican National Committee set low expectations for her party in November's midterm elections. Ronna Romney McDaniel says Republicans have a 50-50 chance of retaining control of the House. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. It is now 5:09 on Wall Street. Time here, Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And good morning to you, Rob Pushka.
Morning, Bob. Great individual performances, not so much for the team aspect for the Giants as the Jaguars beat New York 20-15 in the season opener at MetLife Stadium. Rookie running back Saquon Barkley impressed with 18 carries, 106 yards, and his first official touchdown as a pro.
That we had a great read there with the run game, and like I said, the O-line did a tremendous job blocking not only that play but all day. And Evan made a huge block. If you go back and watch the film, that kind of opened up. That backside block is huge. It created space for me to make a move one-on-one with the guy. And Shep also made a great block at the end of the play, also too, giving me that space on the sideline to find a way and score.
Odell Beckham Jr. had a nice game, receiving 111 yards on 11 receptions, but it wasn't enough, as a Miles Jack interception of Eli Manning, where he took it to the house 32 yards in the fourth quarter, helped out in the difference. Sunday night saw Aaron Rodgers lead the Packers from a 20-0 deficit to beat the Bears 24-23. Jets, they'll start quarterback Sam Darnold tonight when they visit the Lions at 7. That'll be followed by the Raiders hosting the Rams. Yankees lost a heartbreaker in Seattle 3-2. Former Yankee Robinson Cano with the game-winning RBI in the eighth inning. Yankees still took 2 of 3 despite Dylan Patances taking the losses. He fell below 500. Road trip continues. It's on to Minnesota tonight when Jay Happ faces Kyle Gibson. Mets scratched Jacob deGrom on a rainy afternoon against the Phillies, but Michael Conforto picked up the slack offensively, driving in 4 runs in a 6-4 win over the Phillies. Homestand continues tonight. DeGrom gets the ball against the Marlins. And the U.S. Open concluded as Novak Djokovic won his 14th Grand Slam title. He beat Juan Martin Del Potro. It's his third title at the U.S. Open. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thank you, Rob Bush, for that Bloomberg NBC Sports Update brought to you by Investors Bank. S&P futures up 10 points. That is a third of 1%. The 10-year yield at 2.9424%. This is Bloomberg. Again, the sports update brought to you by Investors Bank. Business wins here. Connect your team with the experts at Investors Bank for business solutions to move your business forward. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Bloomberg. Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European shares and U.S. futures rising following losses in Asia as investors weigh the prospect of further escalation of an American trade war with China. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 10 points, Dow futures up 85, NASDAQ futures up 36. The DAX in Germany up less than a tenth of a percent. 10-year Treasury, that'll change, yield 2.94%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.70%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.9% or 62 cents to $68.37 a barrel. COMEX gold, that'll change, at $1,200.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.1577, the yen, 111.10. This week's U.S. economic calendar is packed with reports from inflation to retail sales. Bloomberg's Vinnie Dale Judice reports.
Investors will keep a close eye on this week's reports on producer and consumer prices after Friday's upward surprise in August hourly earnings. Rising labor costs typically filter into the prices of goods and services. Elsewhere, Wall Street forecasts suggest retail sales pressed on in August after rising in July, while industrial production gathered momentum. Also this week, the University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index, the preliminary tally for September. Vinny Del Judice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. Hurricane Florence continues to intensify as it moves closer to the Atlantic coast. Florence could strike somewhere as a Category 4 storm with up to 156-mile-per-hour winds between South Carolina and Virginia late this week. Vice President Mike Pence says he's 100% confident that no one on his staff was involved with the anonymous New York Times column criticizing President Donald Trump's leadership. In sports, in NFL action, the Giants lost along with the 49ers. The Patriots, Redskins, and Ravens were winners. Tonight, the Jets are at the Lions, and the Raiders host the Rams to end week one. In baseball, the Yankees lost while the Red Sox won. The Mets won along with the A's. The Orioles lost along with the Giants. The Nationals game was postponed. In tennis, Novak Djokovic won this year's U.S. Open men's title. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you very much. It is now 5:20 on Wall Street. As we detailed in our opening news segment, an inconclusive election in Sweden has the government there headed for perhaps weeks and potentially months of political gridlock. What effect might this have on the biggest Scandinavian economy and on the European economy? We're joined now live by Kit Jukes, global fixed income strategist for Societe Generale. Kit, good morning and welcome. So no clear candidate to form a government in Sweden. What could that mean to those economies?
I think in Sweden it means gridlock in terms of policymaking. I'm not completely convinced that political gridlock changes things that quickly in terms of what happens. Certainly if the fear was that somehow something happened which gave some power to the anti-immigration party, you would have had more political ructions. Gridlock sounds like status quo to me, which I'm not sure is necessarily the worst thing that could happen to the Swedish economy right now. So I think, you know, there'll be nervousness about what may happen, but this is probably as good an outcome as we could usefully have hoped for, given the rise of populism in Europe and particularly in Sweden.
And more encouraging news from Italy. Government bonds rallying in Italy after government officials ease concern about budget measures. Tell me your reaction to that.
Well, you know, we spent all summer concerned that there would be more political unrest coming. I still don't think, I mean, I wouldn't be putting my life savings in Italian bonds thinking that now, you know, the coast is clear right now. But the, you know, we have been worried at various points over the summer that the kind of the mood music, the noise coming, suggests that we're not going to get open conflict by a proposal of a budget that just goes straight through all the red lines in Europe. It doesn't solve the problem that the Italian economy, you know, its fiscal problems are rooted in years and years of economic underperformance. If you don't get growth, it's really hard to have healthy public finances, and nothing's changed in that regard. So we're only postponing another look at these problems down the road. But for now, fingers crossed, you know, that the fears that there would be a big showdown this autumn, you know, we're getting a little bit more optimistic that might not happen.
As far as equities are concerned, this counts more in Italy than it does for the EU?
Yeah, you know, in terms of risk sentiment, because the big fear for, I would guess, for an Italian equity market, or for, you know, and it feeds into the currency at the same time, is that you get a sharp spike higher in bond yields. Remember, the backdrop to all of this is the end of quantitative easing of bond buying by the European Central Bank. So if you get a squeeze into the bond market, you'll get a squeeze into the equity market, you'll get a squeeze into the economy, and the whole thing will start spinning out of control. So the calm feeds itself through to that. For overall European markets, it's not, you know, what the way you see this is, it allows German bond yields to move higher. It gives some support for the euro. It's up 0.25%. So let's emphasize some against the backdrop of what's happening in the States.
And then there is more hopeful news from the UK. The economy grew at the fastest pace in almost a year between May and July. I wonder, does this have more impact on the economy than Brexit, or which one is more important at this point?
I think we're just getting used to these monthly GDP numbers. Americans should try these. This is sort of a new thing we're doing with monthly GDP numbers. Take a look at the 3 months and see where it is relative to your expectations. I don't want to overplay the impact. The UK economy is slowly losing momentum. The 12-month average of the monthly numbers is still not exciting, for want of a term, in terms of where we're going. This economy is growing well below 2% at an annual rate, and likely to go on losing momentum from here going forwards. But there's so much pessimism around Brexit, there's so much pessimism about everything in the UK, that you will get more of a reaction to any little piece of good news then you get to bad news. And this morning we have the papers telling us that there's speculation, or there's, you know, the suggestion that the European leaders are telling that their EU Brexit negotiator, Michel Barnier, to get a deal done with the Theresa May government, which effectively means come out and help Theresa May's government get a deal done. And anything that gets a deal done against a backdrop of an economy that hasn't fallen off the edge of a cliff is positive at the margin.
Kit Jokes, global fixed income strategist for Societe Generale. Thank you very much for joining us. And let's check the pound at this hour. It is trading up around 0.25% at $1.2949. The euro at $1.1578, and the yen at 111.09. This is Bloomberg. Daybreak brought to you by Deutsche Atkins PC. If you feel you've been unlawfully terminated, you owe it to yourself to call the law firm of Deutsche Atkins now for a free phone consultation. Call 800-498-0991.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are higher, European equities are mixed, and stocks in Asia are lower. Investors are weighing the latest trade war concerns, with President Trump now threatening to tax all Chinese imports.
In the U.K., the economy grew at the fastest pace in almost a year between May and July. Gross domestic product increased 0.6%, beating estimates of 0.4%.
Government bonds are rallying in Italy after government officials eased concern about budget measures. Strategists at Morgan Stanley and NatWest Markets are now recommending long positions in Italian debt.
On the corporate front, Les Moonves, who led CBS to the pinnacle of the TV industry, is stepping down. Bloomberg's Sue Keenan reports from New York.
The announcement came late Sunday that the CEO and chairman of CBS, Leslie Moonves, would immediately step down as a fresh round of allegations alleging sexual misconduct by Leslie Moonves was published in the New Yorker magazine on Sunday. The chief operating officer will now take over as interim CEO while CBS searches for a successor. I'm Sue Keenan, Bloomberg News.
Sue, thank you. It's also the end of an era for Chinese e-commerce giant Alibaba. Founder and chairman Jack Ma has announced plans to step down next year and hand over the executive chairman role to CEO Daniel Zhang.
Aston Martin is moving ahead with plans for an IPO in London, naming Penny Hughes as chairman. The move is a break from Aston's traditional all-male board.
Elon Musk scored a much-needed victory overnight with a 16th successful mission this year for SpaceX. The launch of a Telesat commercial satellite gives SpaceX 2 years of uninterrupted achievements and is a bright spot in an otherwise tumultuous few weeks for CEO Elon Musk.
Digital assets are lower this morning with the cryptocurrency bear market hitting a fresh 10-month low. Ether, the second largest virtual currency, slumped as much as 9% from its Friday close. And Bitcoin is currently trading down 2.75% at $6,276.
And right now, futures are higher. S&P futures is up 10 points. Dow futures up 93. NASDAQ futures up 39. The DAX in Germany is up 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 2.94%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.70%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.9% or 59 cents to $68.34 a barrel. COMEX gold is little change, up 50 cents at $1,200.90 an ounce. And the euro at $1.1583. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. Now 5:33 on Wall Street. A hurricane sets its eye toward the U.S. East Coast. Here's the latest from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. South Carolina's governor is urging residents to be prepared for Florence, now upgraded to a hurricane. Governor Henry McMaster says it's expected to make landfall at some point on Thursday as a Category 4.
Pretend, assume, presume that a major hurricane is going to hit right smack dab in the middle of South Carolina and may go way inshore.
Florence is about 685 miles southeast of Bermuda right now. Veteran journalist Bob Woodward is standing by his portrayal of Donald Trump as an unfit president whose aides intervened to prevent catastrophic decisions. The Washington Post investigative reporter gave his first television interview to promote his new bombshell book, Fear, which is set for release tomorrow. Woodward, who spoke to CBS's Sunday Morning, was asked about how many people did he interview for the book.
Over 100. I would say that maybe half of those are key people.
CBS's Sunday Morning can be heard on Bloomberg Radio. An inconclusive election in Sweden has the government there headed for political gridlock. Bloomberg's Nicholas Magnusson reports from Stockholm.
As expected, neither Prime Minister Stefan Löfven's centre-left bloc nor the opposition centre-right alliance won a majority after support for the nationalist Sweden Democrats surged. The most likely outcome of the election is that the four-party alliance will eventually form a minority government that will have to rely on other parties to get its bills and its budget through Parliament. In Stockholm, Nicholas Magnusson, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The European Union and U.S. trade chiefs are due to meet today in Brussels to advance a push for lower transatlantic commercial barriers. Bloomberg's Jonathan Stearns has more from Brussels.
The gathering between EU Trade Commissioner Cecilia Malmström and U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer will seek to make progress on a July agreement to lower tariffs on industrial goods and scale back other economic obstacles. This is the political kickoff to a working group both sides established under the July 25 accord. That deal put on hold a U.S. threat to impose a tariff on EU cars on the same controversial national security grounds that President Donald Trump invoked to apply duties on foreign steel and aluminum. In Brussels, Jonathan Stearns, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Miss New York is the new Miss America. Nia Franklin was crowned last night. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning, Rob Pushka.
Good morning, Bob. The start of the Saquon Barkley and Pat Shurmur era for the Giants gave us plenty of hope, albeit not the result we were after. As New York fell to Jacksonville 20-15 in the season opener, quarterback Eli Manning threw a pick six courtesy of Miles Jack in the fourth quarter, but Barkley turned in a workmanlike effort as he broke the century mark, averaging 6 yards per carry. Odell Beckham Jr. had a monster game trying to match his monster contract.
Just my mind doesn't get off this game. It's been a long time. It was a lot of hard work and preparation just to be able to get back to running and playing again. So I'm excited. I'm really excited about this team and the opportunity we have in front of us.
Beckham finished with 11 receptions, 111 yards. Another comeback in the Aaron Rodgers' storied career as the Packers quarterback carted off the field with a knee injury in the first, only to return to lead Green Bay to a 24-23 win over Chicago. Cowboys lost to Carolina while the Redskins crushed the Cardinals. Sam Darnold makes his debut under center tonight when the Jets visit the Lions. That's followed by the Rams and Raiders. Yankees failed to sweep Seattle after losing 3-2 on the road to a Robinson Cano RBI in the eighth inning. Road trip marches on for New York. Next stop, Minnesota, tonight as Kyle Gibson hosts Jay Happ. Mets scratched Jacob deGrom against the Phillies because of the rain. It didn't keep Michael Conforto from shelling out. He drove in four in a 6-4 win at Citi Field. deGrom will get his turn tonight with Miami in town to start a four-game set. In U.S. Open, Novak Djokovic beat Juan Martín Del Potro for his third Open title.
There was always part of me that imagined and believed and hoped that I can get back on the desired level of tennis.
It's the 14th Grand Slam title for Djokovic. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Rob Pushka, thank you very much. Now 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. It's a special issue on how innovation and technology promises to transform America's cities. Also in this week's issue, South Korea's plan for the first 5G city. Dimitri Kassanidis edited the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
South Korea is saying this is going to be the first 5G city. They're in the process of building the network, and it will be fully operational, they say, by the end of 2019, so that 5G is going to basically do everything in that city.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio. Now 5:38 on Wall Street. That is time for your Tri-State Business Report, and we check in with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Workers at a Target in Huntington Station have rejected union representation in voting that ended Saturday, according to a company spokesman. If the bid for representation by the United Food and Commercial Workers had been successful, the employees would have created Target's first unionized store. Samsung Electronics says it'll open a new artificial intelligence research center in New York City to strengthen its AI capabilities. The company says the Chelsea facility will employ about 1,000 workers by 2020. It'll be Samsung's sixth global AI center. A social justice organization is calling on New Jersey to create more apprenticeship opportunities for students and adults. NJ Spotlight reports a study released by the New Jersey Institute for Social Justice lists several programs created in other states to build apprenticeships that often lead to lifetime careers offering good pay and full benefits. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Bob?
Ed, thank you very much. Now 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio's on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Dunahoe on KTRH in Houston. Oil explorers idled rigs as maxed out pipelines in the Permian Basin is taking its toll on drilling.
I'm Steve Potosk and on KYW in Philadelphia, we're talking about quarterly results from Destination Maternity.
I'm August Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're watching sterling after official data show the UK economy expanded by 0.6% in the second quarter, the most in almost a year.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that soybean futures are trading in a seasonal 12-year low as U.S. farmers are poised to harvest their largest ever crop.
I'm Andrew O'Day on WBZ in Boston. I'm talking about Boston Fed Chief Rosengren's advocacy for two more interest rate hikes this year.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Ford is saying no to President Trump's suggestion to build a small car in the United States.
Thank you all. Those are some of the stories Bloomberg is working on this morning around the world. S&P futures up by 9 points. Stay with us. We will be looking into President Trump's call for Attorney General Jeff Sessions to investigate the New York Times for publishing that anonymous op-ed that was critical of the president. That's coming up in our Bloomberg Law segment on Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European shares and U.S. stock index futures are rising this morning. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 9 points, Dow futures up 80, NASDAQ futures up 37. DAX in Germany is up 0.1%, 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 2.94%, yield on the 2-year 2.70%, and NYMEX crude oil up 0.8% or 51 cents at $68.25 a barrel. COMEX gold down less than 0.1% at $11.99.50 an ounce. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Hurricane Florence is strengthening and swells are affecting Bermuda and portions of the U.S. East Coast. Florence is forecast ahead from the Carolinas to the Mid-Atlantic later this week. An Afghan official says that the Taliban has attacked police forces, bringing the death toll from overnight fighting to 35. In NFL action, the Giants lost along with the 49ers. The Patriots, Redskins, and Ravens were winners. The Jets and Raiders play their games tonight. In baseball, the Yankees lost while the Red Sox won. The Mets won along with the A's. The Orioles lost along with the Giants. In tennis, Novak Djokovic won the U.S. Open men's title. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you very much. Now 5:48 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. We're joined live now by Jennifer Ryan, Bloomberg Opinion Editor in our London Bureau. Jen, good morning and welcome. So Les Moonves is no longer chairman and CEO of CBS. He has no severance benefits pending the conclusion of an independent investigation into numerous accusations of sexual harassment and retaliation. And Tara LaChapelle has looked into whether this is a loss for the company, Jen.
Well, she starts off with the point that as an executive, he was certainly heralded as the best in TV programming, leading CBS to ratings gold. He also brought CBS into the digital realm with popular streaming apps, and that really helped it capture and retain viewers who are more and more frequently cutting the cable cord. But now think about whether or not it's a mistake to say, you know, is it a mistake to say that Moonves' departure is a loss for the company? Well, if the accusations about him are true, his exit doesn't come a day too soon. And if you look at the reporting by Ronan Farrow, there's really a portrayal there of a toxic culture within the company, which has left a lot of observers thinking, what has taken the board so long to act?
And we've got Joe Ianniello, the interim CEO being named. Is he likely to be a permanent replacement?
Well, LaChapelle says that he may not be, because if there were ever a time for an acquirer to swoop in for CBS, it's now. Because the $21 billion company has a lot of valuable content, hit movies and TV shows, and it just so happens that this is all the rage in M&A land. I mean, we're not short of examples of deals where this very trend is being exemplified, such as Rupert Murdoch's sale of much of his 21st Century Fox company to Disney. And then you don't have to limit the idea of who might be a buyer of CBS to the usual players. You can certainly look at non-traditional buyers such as Apple or Amazon.
And we have an inconclusive election result, but the Swedish kronas rallied today as the National Swedish Democrats didn't do as well as had been feared. And Marcus Ashworth has an opinion piece on this. What's the best way to read the outlook for the Swedish currency?
I mean, even before the election, Ashworth was saying that if there's any relief rally following the vote, it's not likely to be long-lived, because the real point here is what the outlook is for the central bank. And there, traders and everyone are just in a ball of confusion, because the bank's board appears to have divergent views on where rates should be. They put out a statement, the Riksbank put out a statement on Thursday that managed to be both hawkish and dovish at the same time.
Well, that's interesting. What's holding the Riksbank back?
Well, a lot of analysts think that, you know, the Riksbank isn't going to lift its rate from the current minus 50 basis points before the European Central Bank first makes its own move. And that's committed to keeping rates at a negative 40 basis points until the middle of next year.
And what about the inflation picture there?
Well, the underlying rate, which is the focus for the bank, has slid below its target. And so all of this supersedes any concern about the long-term weakness of the krona.
And you can read more on these and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion and on the Bloomberg Terminal by typing O-P-I-N, go. Karen?
It's 5:51 on Wall Street. It is time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It's brought to you by the American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Potisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
Brett Kavanaugh's effort to present himself as impartial on environmental regulation failed to sway advocacy groups and congressional Democrats during his Supreme Court confirmation hearings. T-Mobile's proposed acquisition of Sprint is facing more state scrutiny as New York joins California in reviewing the $26.5 billion deal. And a panel of Medicare advisors supports a draft hospital quality program that could replace four different quality programs. The Medicare Payment Advisory Commission says the current programs are confusing, complex, and burdensome.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, another legal news. Let's look at President Trump's comments from Friday, saying he's asked Attorney General Jeff Sessions to investigate the New York Times for publishing that anonymous op-ed that was critical of the president. For more on this story, Bloomberg's Jim Grasso speaks with William Banks, a professor at Syracuse University Law School.
President Trump said that he wants Attorney General Jeff Sessions to investigate the author of the anonymous op-ed. He said, I think it's national security. I would say Jeff should be investigating who the author of that piece is, because I really believe it is national security. Is an investigation by the Justice Department in order here?
Well, I don't think so. This is one of those things that, you know, the president is, he's a very smart man, and he's using this again to obscure the underlying difficulties that he's in because of the Mueller investigation. You know, the op-ed was an extraordinary event for sure, extraordinary that it exists and extraordinary that it was published anonymously by the New York Times. But it's not a national security issue. There's no, as several people have commented in the last couple of days, there's dissent and discussion inside the administration all the time, not just the Trump administration, every administration government is making sausage in the executive branch in the same way that that Congress makes sausage in trying to draft legislation. So I think this will blow over in the same way that so much it has blown over in the Trump administration. And again, he's using it very cleverly, I think, to try to distract us from other issues.
He also said on Air Force One again that his administration is looking into taking legal action against the Times for publishing the article. Is there any kind of legal action you could imagine against the Times for publishing an op-ed?
No, is the short answer. There's an absolute First Amendment right to publish. There's no such thing as a prior restraint. There's as the president himself has admitted on various occasions, the libel laws in this country, as he says, are very favorable to the speaker or the writer, as they well should be. That's our whole tradition in our history in the United States. It would be, I think, the core freedom that neither the New York Times or any of us would be willing to give up.
That's Syracuse University law professor William Banks speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio, and find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. Bob.
And it is now 5:55 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg ETF report brought to you by Oppenheimer Funds. Challenge the status quo with ETFs that adapt monthly to an ever-changing world. Find out more at oppenheimerfunds.com/ETFs. And here's Bloomberg's Julie Hyman.
The Defiance Future Tech ETF. What the heck does it do? Eric Balchunas of Bloomberg Intelligence is here. That name doesn't tell us a whole lot, does it?
It's the future and
Defiance
it's tech.
Defiance Future. It's like disruption future. Just put all these buzzwords in there.
There is a little of that. Look, ever since the robotics ETFs and the cybersecurity ETFs became home run smash hits asset-wise, you've seen a lot of ETFs come out and try to capture cutting-edge tech. That sector in particular has had a lot of theme products. Now, virtual reality is one of the next ones.
So that's what it is. Defiance Future Tech is VR.
That's right. It's virtual reality and augmented tech. So sensors and all this kind of stuff that is growing. I mean, if you look at the projections, it looks like it's going to be a big industry. Again, projections. Right now, I think sales are about a third that of robotics, just to give you an idea of the scale. There's a lot of overlap with the video game ETF here because you've got companies like Nintendo and Sony. But then you've got some of the smaller pure plays and then even some big ones like Apple. So it's a classic theme ETF. And honestly, if the performance is there, you'll probably see some buyers.
All right. We'll check back in to see how that goes. Thanks, Eric. With the Bloomberg ETF report, I'm Julie Hyman.
All right, Julie, thank you. Futures higher this morning. S&P futures up 9.5 points. Dow futures up 77. NASDAQ futures up 37. The DAX in Germany is up 0.1%. CAC in Paris up 0.2%. The FTSE 100 up 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 2.94%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.70%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.7%, or 44 cents at $68.19 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.1% on $1.20 to $11.99.20 an ounce. The euro is at $1.1575 and the yen 111.12. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.